Sponsorship for today's podcast is brought to you by the great vacation planners over at the Magic for Less Travel. Right now is the perfect time to book your 2016 Walt Disney World vacation because for the first about one-third of the year, there are some great specials out there. Room only and play, stay, and dine. It can save you some big bucks on your next Walt Disney World vacation. Of course, you're going to get concierge-level service each and every time you book a Disney destination with the Magic for Less. And many times, you're going to get little goodies as well for working with a great agent over at the Magic for Less. Check them out today and support the show by supporting the folks over at themagicforless.com. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management, and even though his offices are located in Indianapolis and Fort Wayne, Indiana, he works with clients across the nation. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online, ameriprisedadvisors.com/drew.baker.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 936 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you, and I wish it was last Friday because we were having a great time together down at Walt Disney World. But hey, we're down to like 53 days until marathon weekend. We're going to make it. This is a nice little turnaround. You know, less than 2 months. We'll be back together and having a great time as always. And before we recap the Wine and Dine Half Marathon weekend for 2015 and get the ladies introduced, I just wanted to quickly thank all the lizards and congratulate everybody on their accomplishments. It was kind of a strange race weekend, but everybody, we got together. Everybody had some decent runs. You know, of course, it was, we'll talk about that as the show goes on, but a little unexpected on the distance, the weather. But here's the thing I want to talk about the lizards real quick. And I just want to say, everybody backs each other so much, and I cannot thank you, each one of you, for doing that. You know, we had people that we got to hang out with as we waited out the storm and got ready to go to the corrals. But even more importantly than that, we were getting virtual cheers on our Facebook group, and people were tracking each other. You know, like each person was assigned to a runner. I know that's going to happen as well again this weekend for all of our lizards out in Disneyland for the Avengers. And we wish you a great run out there as well. Many, many lizards out there. But it's just cool to see the folks that are at home encouraging the people that are there, and the people that are there talking about the folks that are home. And it really is a team, and it's a team in the most positive aspect. So thank you to each and every one of you who wears the bright colors there of the lizards. And, you know, even if you haven't made your first Run Disney race, you're just as much part of the team as anybody else, and we appreciate you so much. I am so, so thankful to have a team that keeps me out there running in these cold mornings back here in St. Louis and getting me ready for Dopey. I could not do it without your encouragement. And I just want to say that off the top of the show. So joining me today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and TheMouseForLess.com, we have Ricky. Congratulations on that first half marathon. Ricky, what's up?
Yeah, so there's a story that's coming. But thank you. I have run my first half marathon, so
it sounds like we're stuttering.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? But it was a crazy, crazy weekend. Jam-packed weekend, but I wouldn't have it any other way. So I'm super excited to talk about this, and I'm going to apologize ahead of time because I'm sure this is going to be a long episode. Even though we're going to try not to make it long, it's just going to happen. So just a heads up.
It's not going to be that long because I think we're going to take some of these topics and kind of go more in depth with a separate show over the next month or so.
Yeah, because we have so much to talk about. There are a few things that we're going to talk about in much, much greater detail here in the upcoming shows. So just keep that in mind, too. You got more to listen to from us.
All right. That's great. I'm sure they're like, oh, great. All right. Also joining
great
us.
More. Yeah.
Yeah. From MakingMagicMemories.com, we have Debbie. So good to see you this weekend. Debbie, how you doing?
Oh, you guys, it was wonderful seeing all of you. I missed the rest of our podcast family that didn't show up, but there's always the next meet. But it was just terrific seeing all of you.
All right, well, let's dive in. And the first thing, and again, I don't want to make this about me because, you know, again, it was about friends and everything. But, you know, I was kind of excited for this trip because a lot of people were shocked when I checked in on Foursquare at MCO on Thursday morning, bright and early.
Yeah.
And this had been in the works. And if you have listened to the last few podcasts, if you've been paying attention.
He's been dropping hints, y'all.
I've been dropping all kinds of hints. And some people actually picked up on it. I was asking people because I didn't want to announce it because I am a big chicken. And in case I chickened out, I didn't want to hear it from, you know, 5,000 people on my Twitter that you didn't get on the plane, you know, so I was hedging my bets there. But I will say that I was mentioning, you know, getting to Disneyland, and I was working on it because I do want to get to Disneyland. And working on it means that I only booked these plane tickets about a month in advance. So I've known for about a month.
Yes.
Very few people knew. Very few people. But I've been just watching. So I flew to Wine and Dine Half Marathon Weekend. Haven't flown in 9 years before that. And that flight, I actually drove home from Miami. You've heard that story many times. But so I decided it was the time. Mallory had never been on a plane. I didn't want to give her like this stupid fear that I have. I decided that, everybody flies. You guys, everybody out there, you guys fly to Disneyland. You fly to, you guys all fly. So I want to be more like you guys. And especially like my friend Adam. He wasn't a big fan of flying, but he sucked it up and got on a plane. He's flying all over the place. Jay's a pilot. He lives in the air. So, I mean,
it's,
yeah, I mean, well, he's a dad right now, but
he's a dad
right
now, but he is a pilot on other types.
Yeah. That's right. So, I watched a bajillion YouTube videos out the window of airplanes on takeoff and landing.
He texted me all the time. How does this work at St. Louis International Airport? What do you have to do? Is there, I was just like, Mike, calm down. Are they gonna think I have a bomb if I bring my computer with all the wires? No, Mike, you're gonna be
I can't believe they let you get through like with your bag with all like I have my brick, like my rechargeable battery thing in there. I mean, I still can't believe that.
That's I told legal. You everything was gonna be just fine.
I thought I was gonna get tased, man. That's all I knew. But you know, and I tried to go through it coming home with my shoes still on because I totally forgot, and I almost got tased there too.
I forgot.
They're like rookie. Anyway, so
you were the one that was holding the lineup. Yeah, okay.
It was all Run Disney people. That was kind of the cool thing about the airport was I saw Julie immediately upon landing. And it was fun because, we got there and I was expecting to see nobody and just kind of check in on Foursquare or Swarm, whatever it's called. And I'm still tired from the weekend recording today, trying to think about all this, but it was so much fun just like checking in and knowing that I had made it. I had a bigger smile on my face than when I finished the marathon. I was like, we made it. And it was a smooth flight down. It was a bumpy flight home. We went through storms because it was storming on Sunday night. But, I survived. So I'm flying for marathon weekend. So that's that. I'm excited to join the 1950s now.
Yay!
Pretty cool.
Welcome.
So we got there and we stayed at Wilderness Lodge. I want to throw this out there just for folks that are heading down. We know that it's going under refurbishment. I didn't see much going on
when I visited.
At all. You know, here's what I saw. I saw that they had a scrim up along the Villas Pool. So they're doing work over there. You know, I was in the lodge proper. There was a little bit of scaffolding against the lodge on the side that faced the villas, kind of on the corner up by the bus stops. But that is all I saw. The lobby was 100% absolutely fine. The pool areas were fine. The beach was closed way back by the villas, but that wasn't a big deal. You know, I don't, especially for like a race weekend, it was no problem at all. So if you're staying there, you don't have any worries. I know that, you know, people have been talking online about, you know, like this place is under like all kinds of heavy construction. Not at all. We actually got some collectible pins in our room because of the construction that said they're like Chip and Dale. We got three different collector pins, but one of them said Wilderness Lodge Construction, pardon our pixie dust. I mean, that's pretty cool because it's got to be a limited edition. You know, it says Wilderness Lodge and Construction and all that stuff. So that's kind of a neat little touch. But love the lodge again. Like I said, on Wednesday, we tended to spend our time at the Magic Kingdom when we were outside of the races. We're surprised that Ricky, we can talk about this. Osborne Lights opened up a couple days before we headed down. And that was a really cool thing to see on this trip because it's the last year and we got to see it on this this vacation.
Oh, absolutely. And I made sure to go over there, of course, like a good Disney fan. And I got a little like wistful and sad because I knew it was going to be the last year I was going to see it, the last time I was going to see it. And so, and of course, it was crazy busy because I actually went on the official opening night. So, of course, you know, everybody that didn't know that it was opening early was going then. And I mean, it was crazy mobbed when you were first walking in. But then once people started kind of perusing the lights a little bit more, it got a little less crowded. It was still crazy crowded, but it got a little better. But yeah, I took like tons of pictures, made sure I took tons of PhotoPass pictures because, you know, now I have an AP with pictures, so I'm going to use that sucker. I'm going to try to get my money's worth out of pictures if I can. So I did that. You know, it was just gorgeous to get to see the lights for one last time. And we probably spent, because my brother met me up there, we probably spent a good hour-ish just walking the lights, you know, taking our time and enjoying the lights. The park was close by the time we left. So I'm not sure if we spent like an hour and a half there, but I know we spent a good amount of time in the lights, just soaking up the beautiful atmosphere that, you know, we're not going to be seeing again, which is really a bummer.
Yeah, I went over actually on Thursday night, the night that it was, you know, it was going to be the cast member preview afterwards. But, at dusk, they turned on the lights and did it. And it was amazing because you saw so many people from the Disney community because the buzz was like, oh, you know, we got to get over there. Everybody was running, kind of arrived. A lot of people arrived on Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon. So everybody headed over there. I looked at my pictures. That's the only thing we did in the studios that night. We stayed there for probably an hour and a half, hanging out with listeners of the show, just friends from just the Disney community in general. And it was just, it was a great time. I mean, it really... it's early for Christmas. It really is. I mean, you know, the thing is, too, the Magic Kingdom's totally decked out with the Christmas tree, the lights. They even have the background loop from Christmas playing on Main Street USA. Same thing in some of the resorts. It's pretty much Christmas down there right now for the most part. It's pretty crazy. You know, not all the loops are playing and stuff, but the Magic Kingdom had them going. So if you're a big Christmas fan, that's the place to be. But it was very special and, you know, got to hang out on... there at the Osborne Lights, and then we made the most of it because Mizzou was playing that night. So we were hanging out with our friends, the Gardeners, and so we decided to head over to the boardwalk and just check it out. We were getting kind of hungry. And again, this is one of those things, no ADR, so we're trying to be creative. Football game's on, you know, and of course, it starts at 9 o'clock in the Eastern time zone. That is ridiculously late.
Welcome to the Eastern
time zone. I know, right?
That's crazy. Right? Like, I mean, 8 o'clock's late to me, and I'm in the Central, so I'm like, 9 o'clock, man, I'm ready for bed by 9 o'clock. You know, I'm old, but so we head over to the ESPN zone. Hadn't been there in a few years. Actually, we were there, this summer for the Women's World Cup final, but got over there and just had some apps. I think we had their nachos and we had their zingers, both very, very good. Just got to hang out, drink some sodas, watch the football game, watch Mizzou lose. The table next to us was rooting for Mississippi State, and I just want to strangle the guy because we can't score a touchdown, and he was rubbing it in. But, you know, good meal. And then the Gardeners had an ADR for Beaches and Cream. I want to say it about, I think it was like a 940 ADR, and it was for three because there's three of them. We pulled a Len Testa, six of us sit in the booth. We made it happen.
Oh,
and it just had desserts because we had already eaten, you know, a bunch of food over at ESPN. We had the ice cream sandwiches and No Way Jose, I think somebody got, and some sundaes and stuff. But just a great kickoff to the event. To the big weekend, and that's how we spent our Thursday. So Friday morning, Ricky, you got there late Thursday night, early Friday morning.
Yeah.
That's kind of when we got to see each other for the first time, and we got to do something very, very special. Highlight of the weekend, way more important and special to me than the race, and the race was fun, but we got to visit Give Kids the World Village, and
yes,
we're going to do a show specifically on this because there's so much we want to share. You know, you guys come together every summer and we raise a tremendous amount of money for the folks at Give Kids the World because of your generosity. Also, the Lizards, we raise money for them there. And it's a really neat place. And I want to send a huge thank you to the Sheingolds for organizing this. They always put together things behind the scenes.
And the Dell Princes.
And the Dell Princes as well. You know, they took care of the 5K, double dip Rahman run and the virtual run as well, where we raised over $1,700 just this summer, just for that race. We had the great medals and so forth that we did. But we got to go to Give Kids the World on Friday morning, bright and early. and present, you know, do the check presentation for that event. And the Sheingolds did that as well for their tremendously successful Disney meet that they hold in Indianapolis. I believe it's in August. And I'm going to do everything I can to make that happen this coming year, I promise. And so, Ricky, we're going to, you know, we're going to go in depth on the Village here in the future, because I want people to know how important that is to us and how much when you make a donation, $10, $5, $100 to our 12-hour live show, it truly changes lives. I figured that out. I found it out on Friday. Ricky, just real quick, what was something that surprised you about the Village?
You know, I think it was really how homey it is for the families. You know, that's kind of one thing that we were discussing. You know, I think that we thought, you know, there would be like hotels and stuff like that, but it's really more of bungalow type things. And after, you know, she said it and after looking at it, it makes sense. You know, it makes sense that they would have more of a home type atmosphere for these families because of that. You know, gives them more room and stuff like that. It completely makes a lot of sense. And that was, I was so, you know, we've been doing this for 6 years now, and I have not visited up until this point. And I was really just amazed to see all the great things that they have available for these families to do. I mean, we mentioned it while we were there about how, you know, are there people who wish they would have spent more time here, because it really is a resort unto itself. You really could spend your entire vacation there without ever necessarily needing to leave. Of course, you're going to want to go to the, you know, the theme parks and stuff like that, because obviously that's, you know, the major wish of a lot of people. But you really wouldn't necessarily have to. There's so much there to get to experience and see. And I am so honored and I'm that we got to visit and take this tour. And I'm so happy that we have chosen Give Kids the World as, you know, what we facilitate ourselves with. It's such an amazing place. And I can't wait to go into further detail about it, because I can't, but it's,
yeah,
it was truly inspiring. I will tell you that. It has given me so much more drive to make next year's event even better. And I know, you know, because we need to raise as much money as possible for these kids. So,
and now you know why. When I leave there from volunteering, now you know why. When I drive my car out of the lot, I have tears rolling down my face. It's an honor to drive out of there. Now it's, you can't describe it. You can't describe it.
Yeah, and you know, when we were there, I just, you know, I had happy tears. That's the best way I can describe
it.
Happy tears.
Exactly.
Because, you know, I was really timid about going there, and especially taking Mallory and Pam. We all went, and it's life changing seeing these people. You know, they're dealt really bad hands in life, and they're not feeling sorry for themselves. They're making the most out of every moment, and we should all live that way. So we'll get into that, because we're going to do a full show on this. So let's hop on. But again, thanks to the Sheingolds for making that happen. You guys have added so much to my life, and I don't say thanks enough. So thank you for that. We're going to head out to the next thing that we did. We went to the Magic Kingdom that day after we left Give Kids the World. Just kind of went around, and I thought this, you know, over the weekend, even though it was Wine and Dine Half Marathon weekend, Veterans Day was coming up this week. Crowds were not bad, Ricky.
Yeah,
did you
I
think?
Agree
I thought
with
it
that.
Was easy, you know, pretty easy peasy.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. I mean, there were some things that had pretty long waits, but for the most part, I was quite surprised. I think the weekend before was worse. You know, when I was down there for that quick little getaway, I think that was worse than this one was, which really surprised me. So,
all right. So, are you surprised by how early the Christmas decorations were up? I know the parade was taped earlier this week.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was full on. You know, like when I pulled up on the boat, because we took the boat from Wilderness Lodge, you know, like I could hear the Main Street Christmas background.
That was
loop.
The part that I think floored me for a loop more than anything else, was the fact that Christmas music was playing. Like, you know what I'm saying? I knew that the Christmas decorations were up, because, you know, of course I have my finger on the pulse. But the Christmas music playing was like, whoa, this feels way too early for this. But then again, I know Debbie has Christmas music playing 24/7. But for me,
yes,
for
me, I do.
It was like, this is way too early for Christmas. But I was happy to get to, you know, see it. And it wasn't everywhere yet. They are slowly working on it. The Magic Kingdom, of course, is fully decked out because of the taping that they're doing. They had to make sure that it looked its best, and then they were gonna, you know, obviously work with the other parks later, you know. But it was kind of odd, I'll say, especially having been there, you know, literally 2 weeks before, and it was Halloween and fall, so.
Yeah, right. It's like they totally hopped over Thanksgiving, right?
Right. Exactly.
Wait, what's Thanksgiving? I mean, there's gonna be no turkeys this year. I can tell you that.
No.
All right, so we actually, you know, and then that evening we had the big group dinner over at Trails End with all the lizards and lots of other friends. We took up about 10 tables in there. It was crazy. Just so many of us. I think we had an ADR for like 60, 65.
No, total. It was 36.
Oh, 36. Was it total? I thought it was bigger than that. But
we
had a lot
of tables.
No,
it was only 36, yeah.
Well, maybe the other one was so big. One of those we had just tables and tables and tables. But, it was so much fun. I love that restaurant. It's an effort to get back there sometimes because you got to park, take an internal bus or, you know, take a boat from the Magic Kingdom. But, you know, the food there is just unbelievable. Yeah. Had some great strawberry shortcake for dessert. Lots of fried chicken.
Oh, stuffing. My gosh. Those s'mores bar things were incredible. I could have just eaten all those. So, yeah,
so good meal there. Thanks to, I think it was Florence
so
that organized
Florence.
That.
Florence. And it was Jocelyn and, oh my gosh, who else had the other reservation? I know I saw it. The Shengolds, Teresa. That's who it was.
Of course.
So those ones.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. It's a great meal over there with even better friends. The friendships are better than the food, and that's a lot to say.
Yes.
For Trails End. So we finished out the night. We went back to the Magic Kingdom because I wanted to see the Christmas tree lit up now, you know, and get in some rides
at
night.
See, I forgot to do that.
Oh, you got to do it because I loved it, you know, because, I mean, there's one thing to see everything during the daytime, but I love seeing Main Street USA at Christmas at night. So we did that. The castle had its ice lights already on. I guess Elsa just flew in and whoosh. Cold
there is something
her.
So wrong about Frozen and Anna and Elsa being in Cinderella's castle. There's something so wrong about that.
I don't know that they're in the castle. They're just, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, you know, it should, I get a lot of people's, you know, feelings about it should, that it should still be the fairy godmother. But I do get the Frozen thing. Like it's not as awkward to me as some of the other things they've tried to shoehorn Frozen into. So this one makes probably makes the most sense out of anything that they've done. So, I mean, yeah, the show has a little bit of clunky dialogue because of what they're trying to do. But I mean, overall, I mean, this is probably the best way they can incorporate Frozen into something. I think
right.
So I mean, you know, when I went and saw the parade for Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party and like 1/4 of it was Frozen, that was a little much to me. So
exactly. What did y'all think of all the new spires that went up?
Those are pretty neat. I mean, I didn't notice them. Like, they're not they're not anything that sticks out, but it does kind of complete the picture, I think.
Yeah.
It's a nice touch, but I don't think, like, especially if you're a first-time guest, you would think it was there since 1971.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I like the hub. The hub looks really nice now that it's done.
So good. It looks so good.
Very good. Okay, so the next day was obviously Saturday. This is the big race day. I was doing the 5K with Pam and Mallory over at Disney's Animal Kingdom. And, of course, going to do the Wine and Dine Half Marathon that evening. This was my first Disney 5K as well for my wife and Mallory. We had a good time. We ran it with Jocelyn and her oldest daughter, just kind of running when they wanted to run, walking when they complained that they got a stitch in their side, and stopped for some pictures. Got to see lots of friends out on the course. Kimberly Torres Markey and her crew outdid themselves again with their costumes, both in the 5K where they were these crazy looking Christmas trees that kind of look like Venus flytraps from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
They were awesome. I've never
seen
the whole
Nightmare
movie.
Before Christmas? No,
not the
you
whole
need
thing.
To see it.
So, yeah, they were just kind of scary. But then, you know, it was just, it was a good time. You just, again, these Run Dizzy races are more about the friends.
Absolutely.
Seeing each other in the 5K is so laid back. You know, I'd never done one. It was so fun just getting pictures. But it was really cool getting to see my kid get a medal for a 5K and my wife. That was super special to me. And Ricky, I know you've done a 5K before, so you know, I think these are really the race to kind of get your gateway into Run Disney.
Absolutely. You know, I like them because They are more relaxed. Not. I mean, they're timed, but not heavily. You know, not like the major races. And you know, yeah, you get a great little medal, and so you get that accomplishment. And they have lots of characters on the course, and usually it's through a theme park, so that you have that to distract you. And you know, I really enjoy the 5Ks. I think that they're definitely a good gateway, as you said, to the running of other races, which we'll get to in a few minutes.
And I will say that I really, really like the medal. Of course, it's a rubber medal for the 5K, but it was very cool looking, kind of looked like a Christmas wreath with Mickey and Minnie and some of the characters. Also, the shirt was very nice. You know, it's a very holiday looking shirt, bright red, of course, cotton shirt, but still, it's one that I'll wear is, you know, to school or something. It's not gaudy. It's very Christmassy looking. It's like a shirt you buy in the store for the holiday season. So I really enjoyed the shirt as well. So they did really well in the 5K. I give kudos to that. Now here's where I kind of ran into trouble. Okay, here's where it started to fall apart. We watched everybody else finish, hung out with Jay and Melissa, lots of friends that were cheering us on, Florence and her husband and Mike and just lots of folks that were there. The Millers kind of was there wrapping up their race and so forth. We had a good time just hanging out. But then Pam said, you know, I'm hungry. We got to get breakfast. And I mentioned on Wednesday, we didn't make any ADRs. And I was really hungry at this point too. So I actually wanted to sit down and have a good breakfast. I'm thinking, okay, here's my thinking. Because when you're at the end of a Run Disney race, you have resort transportation from the race. So you have all these buses lined up that will take you to any resort you want. They're all sitting there. So really, you know, the world's your oyster in a way, because you can go wherever you want. The buses are all in one place. So I was thinking, okay, let me think, where can I go to sit down? It would have availability at walk up, you know, and it would be good. And, you know, something I want to try. I'm always looking for something new. So I thought, Cruise Cup. Isn't that what it's called over at Yacht Club?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, the Cruise Cup is the lounge. No, Captain's Grill.
That's it. Captain's Grill. So I'm thinking, okay, I got to go somewhere where people aren't thinking about. So Captain's Grill it was. I'm thinking, I looked at the menu. They had a decent looking breakfast. We all could find something
delicious.
We like. Yeah. I mean, so we head over to the Yacht Club, get there. No availability. It's going to be an hour and a half to get a table. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Why are people, Ricky? It's because you talked about it on the show about 2 months ago.
I'm sorry. It is totally
there you go.
All your fault. So anyway, we ended up going to the Boardwalk Bakery across the way. It was very, very busy. We just took the boat across and had a really good breakfast. We had a cinnamon roll. I also had this, it's called a maple waffle breakfast cone, and it's a waffle cone with some maple flavoring to it with bacon and eggs and ham all mixed up on the inside. Very good.
Oh my gosh.
$8.99. Very good value. Very good meal. So we did that. And so Ricky, what did you do on Saturday morning? What were you up to?
So Saturday morning I had plans to, I had plans to meet my brother, at Epcot. So I get, you know, cause I knew that the race was starting at Epcot, or you had to meet at Epcot. And so I had plans to park at Epcot, for the day and hang out there and stuff like that. So, I met up actually with Brendan and Aaron and some of their, friends and family. And we actually went around, World Showcase for a little bit. I have to tell you, I tried the counter service restaurant in China, because their friend really likes the China.
Yeah.
Their friend really likes the China Pavilion. And really likes to stop there. So it's like, really? And so anyway, because no, but you don't hear good things about China. So I was like, all right. So I went and I got the kids sweet and sour chicken, because that's the only thing they offer sweet and sour chicken with. And I love me some sweet and sour chicken. So I got that. I have to tell you, it was actually really good. I was really surprised. So, I have to say China is now on my radar. Didn't think that, I will absolutely tell you, because Chinese food is not something that I get a lot of. Like, I don't do it here a lot in Atlanta. I'm not a big Chinese food fan. I don't know. It's never something that I think about eating, basically. So I have to say, I will definitely be stopping at the China Pavilion more often. I was really, and when I went back to Food and Wine, because I went back a couple days later, I stopped at the China booth and got the chicken pot stickers, and I was really impressed with the, well, not the like the restaurant, but the actual China marketplace booth. I got the pot stickers from there and was really impressed with those too. I was thinking, wow, China really surprised me this trip.
You know what the shocker is? We didn't go to we never made it into World Showcase this trip.
My gosh, it was so good. But the rest of the day, we had our meet as well, which was great. I showed up late because I was eating delicious Chinese food in China. But the meet was great. You know, we had a lot of great Be Our Guest listeners and lizards and, you know, everybody show up. And it's always such a great time. That was at the Contemporary. And we had just a great time catching up and talking. And by the way, just a heads up, so that way y'all know, totally throwing this out there, we are going to do our, because I talked to Florence and Michelle while we were standing there, so that's the only reason that I'm bringing it up. We're going to do our Christmas card exchange and our ornament exchange here soon. So be prepared. We're going to have details on that really, really, really soon. I have to work with them on getting that finalized, but that is coming. So just know, it's coming. So there you go. That's the latest breaking news.
So when you see a sale on DisneyShopping.com, be
exactly
ready to jump.
Or now you've got the new Disney Parks app.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, that's
I got
crazy.
Really excited about that.
So real quick, we went to the Magic Kingdom after breakfast just to hang out because we knew we had to meet at the Contemporary, so we wanted to be local so we could just take the monorail. Actually, we walked over from the Magic Kingdom. While we were there, I did have my fajitas at Pecos Bill's. Excellent theme park food. I wouldn't say they're as good as the Maya Grill fajitas, anything like that, because again, that's a sit-down restaurant. They have a little bit more resources.
About the rice bowl.
So good. So definitely check out Pecos Bill's. A change for the better there. Got to meet up with Kim. We talked about her on Wednesday. Got a lot of pictures there of my family with Kim while she was working. PhotoPass, love that. Again, thanks everybody who came out to the meet at the Contemporary. So good to see everybody in person. Got to see lots of friends from years gone by. Lots of new friends drop by. Again, we kind of took over the area there by Chef Mickey's. And sorry to everybody who we got in your way, but there were just a lot of folks there. And thanks everybody for coming out. That evening, of course, half marathon weekend. It was time to get off your feet and get down to the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. This race does start at Disney's Wide World of Sports and makes its way through the Animal Kingdom, Disney's Hollywood Studios, and Epcot, and ends in the Epcot parking lot, 13.1 magical miles. So we thought going in.
Yes.
And we'd heard, you know, rumors last year it was just pouring. Everybody got, you know, it's called the Splash and Dash, and everybody got drenched and drowned. And all day, you know, the weather was beautiful Thursday, beautiful
Absolutely
Friday.
Absolutely freaking gorgeous.
Beautiful
yeah, it was
Saturday.
Hot, but it was gorgeous.
It was hot, but it was like, oh, so nice. And I thought we were in the clear. Honestly, because we were actually standing in the
I did too.
We were standing at Wide World of Sports. Everybody just kind of congregates until they call you back to the corrals. And it was awesome. Like, nobody was even worried about the weather. It was great. And then I thought I saw a little lightning off in the distance. Maybe it was heat lightning. I didn't know. But then all of a sudden, it started to get a little cooler, and the wind picked up. And we're like, uh-oh. I turned to feel it. I said, uh-oh, that's not good, is it? So everybody started looking at their phones. And all of a sudden on the radar, you didn't see green. You saw reds and yellows and all kinds of stuff.
So it was not good.
I noticed that the DJ on the stage, all of a sudden the video screen was no longer there. So I was thinking, okay, this probably isn't good. They're taking stuff down. But, you know, I will say that, you know, so we, everybody, of course, in the era of smartphones, everybody gets these alerts. And there was basically a special weather statement for wherever we were at a Wide World of Sports. And so Run Disney did what they had to do. They made an announcement and got everybody moved from the big fields right before you get into the corrals.
Was this the first time that they had called for weather?
I think so. Yeah, I think this is the very first time. So at least that I've done. And I've done a lot of
races. Yeah, I know. And we've been doing it for a while.
So what they did, they moved us into Champion Stadium. Now, this is about 12,000 to 13,000 people all moving at one time. It was kind of a big herd of people. But they got everybody into Champion Stadium, the big baseball field, where you were in the concourses, or at least covered by some kind of an awning. And then we kind of stood in between the two buildings there, but then they got another alert and took it to the next level. Everybody had to move either into the Justin's Center or the Milk House and find some cover in there. And you know what? We made the best of a bad situation. We were waiting it out. We didn't know if we were going to be able to race.
We were playing games, answering questions.
Jocelyn, she made this into a team building exercise for the lizards.
She did. So we could have recorded a podcast
in there,
and it would have been fantastic.
We should have. I was just scared my battery would run out and I wouldn't be able to do my intervals during the race. So we totally should have recorded this. We went around in circles and gave our best attraction, our best resort. So it was just fun getting to, you never get to hang out in person. And this was actually an opportunity more than like a setback. I look back and I loved it. It was so fun. I'm glad we got to actually have that, hold up. So eventually, as soon as Ricky decides to go to the bathroom, they say, hey, we're going to race. Let's go. So thank you, Ricky, for deciding to do that.
You are most welcome.
I let you know, I yelled into the women's restroom that, hey, they're starting the race. Let's go. So hopefully everybody
I did not hear you. I was washing my hands.
Okay, good.
I'm glad you walked. When I found out.
Hygiene always.
So hygiene is good, yes.
So anyway, we head back out. They put us basically back directly into the corrals. The race was supposed to start at 10. I went off. I was in corral D, so I was in the fourth corral. I think I went off at 11:11. So they got the race. It was only about an hour delayed. But I think due to logistics and the timing of like when they shut down things and when they expect the last runner to clear a park and so forth, they had to cut the race a little bit short. So they cut off 6 miles. So the 13.1 became 7.1. And basically what they did was run the last part of the marathon for those that have run the full marathon. We ran from Wide World of Sports out to Osceola Parkway. Into the studios, ran through the studios, and then ran to Epcot, the Boardwalk, Beach Club, Yacht Club, all that stuff, and then finished in the Epcot parking lot. It was 7 miles. I didn't have my best run at all. I had actually a pretty terrible run, and I think the problem was is that, and I heard this from more than one person, is that when it went from 13.1 to 7, I decided I'm going to lay the hammer down, because I'm only doing half the distance. I'm going to try to go out a little bit harder than I would have. That was a big mistake. I didn't stick to my intervals. I didn't stick to my training, which I knew better. And it was very hot and humid at this point. The humidity came back with a vengeance by the time we ran, and it got hotter as the race went on. And, still fun. But the thing I noticed just personally from somebody that's done a lot of these half marathons is that it was a crowded course. It was crowded all the time, except out on Osceola where you just have big lanes to go through.
That's true.
When we went through the studios, very crowded, and especially the area between the studios and Epcot, that little path along the waterway. Normally, this isn't a problem. I've gone through there in many races, and it's not a big deal. But I think as I was trying to reflect on this, I think the problem was is that you usually hit that mile marker at about mile 11. And by mile 11, the runners tend to spread out a lot more than mile 6. So we were kind of still on top of each other running impacts, and it was just really crazy crowded going up to the boardwalk area from the studio. So that was one of the kind of, you almost had to walk the whole time. So it was kind of frustrating, but
I didn't, but you did. So
yeah, I mean, it was really crowded, but all in all,
I was a little further back than you, Mike. So
all in all, they did a good job. The medal was beautiful. The volunteers were awesome as always. The announcers, Rudy and so forth, did a tremendous job, and I enjoyed it. I mean, they took what they had and did the best they could with it. Lots of smiles, and it wasn't what we were expecting, but I didn't hear anybody complaining. So, Ricky, this was your first distance race. So, what were your thoughts?
So, a lot of people are listening to this right now and probably going, "I didn't know Ricky was running. Ricky wasn't going to be running." Ricky was presented a bib and said, "Run." And so she stupidly said yes, because that's how she rolls. She had not been running prior to this. She had only run a 5K the weekend before and did miserably at it. Like, I seriously almost died. I felt like I was about to die when I was running that one. So I was not planning on this one. I had no intention of running the Line and Nine Half Marathon. However, I decided, okay, I can do this. I can get this. So there was most of the parks, we were going through mostly parks during this thing with a few miles outside of the parks. And I knew that I had done the 5K before, and most of the first 3 miles were outside of the park. So I was like, okay, I know I can handle that because I've done that. And then I'll be through Animal Kingdom, so I'll be okay. And then I go back outside parks again, and it's a couple miles there, so that might be a little rough. But then I get back and I go back into the parks again with Hollywood Studios and the Boardwalk and then Epcot. So I was like, I've got that. So once we get there, I'll be good. So I was talking to Florence prior to the race, and she's like, no, seriously. She said, because normally when I run a minute and walk a minute. That's how I do it. But I usually, like I said, the last race I did that with, I about died, or I felt like I was going to. So she said, run 10 seconds and walk 50 seconds. That's the Jeff Galloway method that she was using, because she had used. She, is in contact with Jeff, and so that they, devised that training plan for her and everything. So I decided, well, since I was planning on walking most of the half marathon to begin with anyway, because clearly I had not done any training for it, I knew, like I said, I knew I could probably walk it, but I decided, okay, I will do that. I will run for 10 seconds and walk for 50. So I was like, I'm good. So So then when they announced that they were doing the half of a half marathon, I know that a lot of people were disappointed, and I was disappointed too, because here I was thinking, yes, I'm going to get a half marathon in that I didn't know I was going to be doing, but I'll still have that under my belt. I will still be able to say at that point, I am a half marathonist. Is that a word? I don't know. I'm going with it. So anyway, I was really excited to have that, you know, as a title for myself. And I was disappointed at that point when I knew that it wouldn't be. However, secretly inside, I was thinking, yay, I don't have to run very far.
Yeah, you're one of those people like, yes.
I had done the 10K, you know, in January, and that was only 6 miles. I say only, but that was, you know, 6 miles. So this was 7. So I knew that I had handled that okay. Granted, I had trained a little bit better, but I had handled that okay. So I felt confident in this race at that point. So you know, I did it. I did the 50 seconds a walk, 10 seconds, and I have to tell you, I did really, really well with that. I could have continued, actually. I know I could have continued. My legs felt fine. The only thing that really bothered me were my feet. And that's because I need new shoes, because I was not expecting to do this. So I definitely need to buy some new running shoes. And that's something I'm going to be working on. Not that I'm saying that I'm going to be running any more races like this, but I definitely know I need more new shoes overall anyway. So
yeah, that was very embarrassing when you asked somebody from Disney to piggyback you. But
yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Debbie, you're not supposed to tell people that. No. But I have to say, I loved the course overall. I know we didn't go into, you know, Animal Kingdom and take that route. But I loved getting to run through the Osborne Lights, which I know is a huge. I know that's a huge, like, bonus. A lot of people really love this race because of that, and it's going to be really sad that you can't do that anymore. But I really had a great time. I'm super surprised that I had a great time, and not once did I feel like I was going to die or pass out on the side of the road or whatever. So, you know, for those who are not runners and not people who do things like this, you never know what you can do. I never thought I would, you know, well, I never thought I'd do a half marathon, which I haven't, but I never thought I would do this. And so now I have a half metal marathon that I partially earned and partially didn't earn, but I'm still proud of it because, you know, I did 7 miles, and that's still an accomplishment for me. So I know, well, a lot of people, you know, what's surprising, and I think because people were upset that I didn't run a full half, I did not see a lot of people wearing their medals the rest of the weekend because...
Yeah, it was hard to do that.
I was noticing, you know, I noticed that a lot of people were not wearing their medals, and I get it, but I was proud, so I proudly wore my medal because I did something I'd never done before, and I ran longer than I'd ever run in my entire life. So I was proud of that. So I happily wore my medal, and I'm very proud of it. So
yeah, I mean, it was fun. And the thing is, you ran as far as they allowed you to run. So I'm very proud of you as well. You did great.
Absolutely. And I would have finished it. I was super happy though when I hit the studios because I knew they couldn't sweep me. So I was like, yes, I made it.
I will say that when I, you know, texted Pam, we're waiting in the crowds when they first announced they shortened the course by 6 miles. The first thing that my wife said is, "Bet Ricky's happy." Yeah. I was like, "Yes, I bet she is."
So. I was. So, I mean, I get the disappointment that everybody else had, especially for those who this would have been their first half marathon. You know, and like me, it would have been my first. And I, especially those, obviously those that trained, I felt terrible for them. But you know, Disney has in their, you know, guidelines and everything that if there is inclement weather, they do have the right to reserve. They have the right to make concessions like this. So you know, I get the disappointment. But you know, I guess overall, I am hoping that they were looking out for our safety versus anything else.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, there may be other factors that were involved in them deciding to shorten the race course, but I'm sure that safety was the number one goal. So, you know, I can't fault them for that at all. So kudos to Disney for making more or less the right decision on that race, and kudos to Disney for actually having the race, because yes. I'm, you know, that was the last thing that they wanted to do was cancel the.
And it never rained. We didn't get wet.
Yeah, I know. That was the thing. lightning. It never rained on us.
There was lightning.
Sprinkling.
We didn't get wet.
It was sprinkling a little bit while we were sitting in the field. And then after that, it didn't rain at all.
We got lucky. I mean, in a way, I mean, look at the positives. We didn't get soaked like last year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So,
what can you do?
And also, I am happy that I did not come in last place because I kept hearing people being announced after I was sitting down in the middle of the Epcot parking lot trying to eat a banana. So
I thought for sure Mickey'd walk you across the line.
Nope. No Mickey. Lots of other people were behind me.
Cool. Well, so it was a lot of fun. Again, just a great run Disney race. Looking out forward to Marathon Weekend. The four distances are going to be out there.
I'm sorry. Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
I'm so sorry. I just, again, kind of like you were mentioning before, I want to send a huge shout out to the Lizards. You know how you mentioned, I posted on social media that, surprise, I'm running. And I posted in our Lizard Facebook page. And I had so much love and support from all the Lizards out there. Just super, super stoked to see that I was going to get out there and do it. And, they were, again, like you said, they were cheering along with me. And it was so great to see those notifications come in on my phone, you know, that someone mentioned me in a message. So, thank you to all you Lizards who are out there cheering me on. And a big, big thank you to Florence and Jocelyn and Scott, who took pictures of me because, of course, I think I was the last Lizard. But they took pictures of me running across the finish line. So thank you for those. I cherish them. They are fantastic. So
thanks to Naomi for she put together the trackers online. So that was cool. Got everybody tracking and everybody who stayed up late to track us because we started an hour late. And also trying to decipher all the texts because all of a sudden we were at 15K, 30 minutes in, we were flying. So it was awful.
Exactly.
Anyway, so Sunday, we just kind of wrapped it up. We got up and went over. We had a lunch over at Garden Grill because I wanted Mallory had her medal and I wanted her to get her medal with characters. So we had a good meal. Garden Grill, just a solid restaurant, underrated, good food, basically kind of like Thanksgiving. I enjoyed it. I had something for the first time, sweet potato fries. I'd never tried those before. Really like those. Oh, they're so good. And got our, pictures with our medals with Mickey, Pluto, Chip and Dale. So, good meal there. Then we headed home. So that was kind of the weekend for us. It goes by too quickly, but just truly so much fun. Ricky, I know that you kind of wrapped it up on Sunday night with Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, the first one of the year. But how about we hold that off and talk about that for next Friday?
You know what? I think that is a very nice tease and a very nice plan as well. So I can't wait to talk about that on the next episode. So yay! Lots of cookies were consumed.
Yes. All right. Well, you ran, so you get to eat cookies.
Absolutely. That's what I was telling myself. I'm going to enjoy these cookies.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode. Don't forget that today's episode is brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travels. The next time you're headed down to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or sailing with the Disney Cruise Line, work with one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less. They're going to give you concierge-level service, get you the best financial deal possible, and make that trip as magical as ever. When you support them, you support the podcast. So let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. You're going to get great service. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management, and even though his offices are located in Indianapolis and Fort Wayne, Indiana, he works with clients across the nation. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online. He's at ameriprizeadvisors.com/drew.baker. Don't forget this Sunday night's the next Be Our Guest podcast live show. Lots to talk about, wine and dine memories. All the holiday happenings going on down at Walt Disney World changes. The Star Wars weekends, they're gone, but it's going to be every day at the studios. Lots to talk about. So please do join us this Sunday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, right there at Magical Mouse Radio. And keep it locked on Magical Mouse Radio for the best mix of Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're your source for the magic right there at MagicalMouseRadio.com. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. If you want to see my pictures from the weekend, drop by Instagram. Again, Be Our Guest Mike there as well. Join the Facebook group, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Lots of great conversations over there. And of course, we have our V-Bulletin forums at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. You can always grab the show on Stitcher Smart Radio as well as TuneIn Radio, two great apps to take the show with you wherever you go. And coming soon to the Google Play podcast app. Stay tuned for that. We're going to launch right along with this new service. All right. We appreciate you downloading the show, hanging with us for this extra long one. If you were there on Wine and Dine Half Marathon Weekend, thank you so much for making this experience so much better for me. I appreciate that. And for those folks that cheered us on from home, you helped out so much. And just
absolutely. You're welcome.
It's awesome. And just everybody for downloading the show, being a part of this community. I can't thank you enough for just supporting us here at the Be Our Guest podcast. Thank you so much. So for Debbie, Ricky, and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Get out there and have some fun, but do stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.